Monsignor Rogers, my dear brother priests and deacons, fellow religious sisters and brothers in Christ, and especially my two brothers here who will be baptized this evening. Tonight we celebrate the Easter Vigil, and in the earliest days of the church, the reason why the community came together at night like this was to hope and pray for the Lord's second coming. The vigil means to be waiting. And so it was not just a moment to remember the past, although that was important to do. But what the church was really doing was longing for the Lord Jesus to come again. And there was especially a hope that he would come again as the church celebrated his resurrection from the dead at the Easter Vigil. And our early brothers and sisters in Christ, the first Christians, were stronger people than we are because they began at sunset and they continued until sunrise, sitting and listening, or actually they stood most of the time because they didn't have chairs or pews in the church. They stood and listened to the Word of God and prayed and sang and encouraged one another in the faith. Now, this ceremony is very long for many of us, but it's very short compared to the celebrations in the early church. So I would encourage all of you to, if you weren't expecting a long service especially, just to relax and really long for the Lord in your heart, long that he would really come tonight. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he would come again in glory and it would all be over with and we would all have the opportunity to sing the Alleluia in the clear presence of the Lord our God. My words tonight are directed especially at the two who will be baptized, and I hope that all of us here will remember our own baptism as I speak to them. In English, we refer to today's feast as Easter. We don't know for sure where that title comes from or that name comes from. It is probably the Germanic name of the goddess of spring and has nothing to do with Christianity. But most of the Christian world, other languages, refer to this day as the Pasch, or some version of that sounding word. And it refers to the Passover of the Jews, who celebrated on this very night the fact that God led them from slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea to freedom in the Promised Land. And the early church saw Easter and the baptisms that took place at Easter as the re-experience of the Exodus, that passage from slavery to freedom. And it's important to understand that so that we can understand the rituals of baptism, which you will experience tonight. We believe that in the sacraments, Jesus comes to us today and is truly present among us, and what the church does, Jesus does in your life. But in baptism, the symbol through which Jesus works is the water. Now, the way we do it in our church today is pour water over your head. But in the earliest days of the church, they insisted that there be flowing water. Generally, there were three steps leading down into the large basin where people were baptized. The basin was full of water. The candidates would strip off their clothes and go into the water, and three times were dunked into the water as the deacon or the priest prayed, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And that being dunked into the water was symbolic of the death of Jesus, and the rising out of the water was symbolic of the new risen life that we share through baptism. Now, the reason I pointed out what they used to do is so that you can understand better the words of today's epistle reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. I'd like to read those words to you again today. My dear brothers, are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, that plunging into the water. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life. Your old life passes away when you're baptized. And we deeply believe that through Jesus, everything is made new. I think those of us who are older kind of wish we were being baptized tonight. We would like that kind of fresh start where the past is gone and everything that lies ahead of us is new. In some ways, you're privileged to be baptized as adults rather than as children because you have the opportunity to experience it in a very conscious way. But sometimes, because the symbols of the sacrament are less dramatic than they were in the past, we might think that baptism is just kind of a process of our mind where we're going to be different now in some kind of way. But we don't have a dramatic experience in our hearts of what's really going on. In Jesus Christ, death gives way to life. In Jesus Christ, darkness gives way to light. In Jesus Christ, despair gives way to hope. And in Jesus Christ, you will receive new life. What a privilege that is. At the end of this reading from Romans, St. Paul says, consequently, because of your baptism, you too must think of yourselves as dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. It's a big change, isn't it? Your sins are wiped away. You receive a baptismal innocence through your baptism. And we pray along with you that it will never happen that your life touches sin again. But so much of that will depend on you and your cooperation with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, God calls you to holiness. And when God calls, he gives us the means to respond. And so if you fall away from the faith, it won't be because of God. It'll be because you give up hope, you give up trying, you give up believing that God is with you, giving you the strength to be good and holy men. The church gathers together with you tonight at this moment of your baptism, and all of us here, I hope, will remember our own. You know, the grace of baptism is renewed in each one of us this Easter. After their baptism, I will ask you the same questions that were asked 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago when you were baptized. And everybody here will respond to those baptismal promises again. And just as God works powerfully in their lives, moving them from death to life, from darkness to light, from despair to hope, God works powerfully in our lives doing the same. My dear brothers, when you become a Christian, God doesn't simply want your agreement with the teachings of Jesus. What God really wants from you is your conversion, a change of your life, which is quite different than simple agreement, right? It requires a commitment on your part, a difficult commitment. We pray that what the Lord begins in you tonight, he will bring to completion throughout your life. May God be praised.